Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem! What the fuck's up, dude?
What's going on, brother?
Episode 23 is what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Last time I fucking counted, we're on episode 23.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's fucking awesome. Badass. And we got a surprised... I don't know, can we call him a guest or
I don't
is he
know.
A pest?
Cashman, we got Cashman in the house again today.
Cashman outside, man.
He just keeps showing up here.
Hell yeah, dude.
Whoremonger in the house.
That ain't a complaint neither. Love having you in here,
no,
motherfucker.
No, it's fucking awesome. Yeah, I ran up here and set up a chair and a mic. And so, yeah, we got Cashman here with us.
Me and CK are trying to get in on the best supporting cast.
Oh, there
Hell
you go.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah, CK just sent a text that he's good to go. So
all right.
He's on
be doing
standby.
A live call with him tonight.
That's right. Episode 22, though, I thought was kick-ass. Some Cleveland torso murder.
That shit's so fucked, dude.
I know.
There's body parts everywhere.
I mean, I can't even imagine, like, we were talking with the kids finding them and stuff. It's like, damn.
You know, like, so fucked.
Pretty gruesome
I couldn't
stuff.
Even imagine what my kids would be like if they came across some shit like that.
I know.
Like,
I mean, what do you say to them at night when they're, like, having visions of...
Being Shawback kids, they might have poked at him with a stick. Like, what the fuck is that, dude?
Selfie. Took a selfie with
yeah,
him.
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
That's true.
Yeah, painting the corpse's nails. Yeah, hell yeah.
Spawn of Shawback. So, sounds like a horror film.
God damn it.
But the guy that wrote the book about that, James Badal, in the Wake of the Butcher.
That name, though.
Yes, yes.
We had some buddies that had a band called In the Wake of the Butcher.
And I wondered, because I think this name, the book came out after that.
Oh, really?
So I think so, because I did check, and I believe that they, the band, at least that we know of, is In the Wake of the Butcher from here in Central Illinois. They're no more, but I
yeah,
thought
no.
It was a pretty cool name.
I thought it was a badass band name.
And who knows, James Badal might have been a fucking In the Wake of the Butcher
yeah.
fan.
Never know.
Thought he wanted to name his book that, but he actually has written two other books about that, which is fucked up, because he wrote a book. Remember we talked about the dude in the cell that like just died like suddenly?
Oh yeah, yeah,
and mysteriously, and he was supposedly connected with the one Palillo, that lady.
Yes,
that was murdered.
Yes.
And he just ends up dead, and so that
like
was
randomly
very
suspicious. Shit. Yeah, that was
it was
up.
Supposed to be a suicide, but it looked very fishy. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. So he's written a whole book about that and that guy and why maybe it happened, and very, very into that whole thing. And then goes one step further.
The Murder Swamp.
Dude, Murder Swamp. We have to go there.
Yeah, we got to go
there. We have to get a picture of us in Murder Swamp, because that's fucking badass.
That'd be fucking sweet as shit.
So we have to do a tour, and we'll have to stop in near Cleveland and take a picture.
Hey, man.
Or
we
no,
could go.
It's more closer to Pittsburgh, so that'd be all right. Maybe we catch a Steelers game.
Steelers game.
But anyway, the way they've been playing.
How's that Sox-Yankees game going?
Oh, I don't know. That could get interesting.
We'll keep it updated.
Yeah, we'll keep an update. But no, he wrote a book about the Murder Swamp and the killings that went on the trains and stuff. So
right.
Just thought I'd you know, we had a lot of people interested in that case, and I thought I would provide a little update of some things I found out literally like the day or two after we did it.
And if you listen to this podcast, it's something you're going to enjoy anyway, because that's what you think about.
Oh, yeah. So James Badal, definitely worth checking his books out. This week, though, dude, we just can't resist a good cannibal story. I mean, we just can't.
How many Cashman?
I'd say listening to your guys' podcast, you have to be around 30%.
Yeah, at least.
That's pretty good.
Especially in the beginning.
At the beginning, we had so many.
We did like three or four in a row. The female ones.
Yeah, Catherine Knight, dude. That bitch, man. She's the last cage match.
That's right. Catherine Knight whipped some ass last week in the cage, man. What we'll have to do is we'll have to have a match of the champions, like at the end of the year. So
yeah, yeah, hell
like
yeah.
Like a beatdown. That might be funny. Because I used to do that in Low 12 in the Brutality Report with the Skank of the Week.
Oh, I remember that shit. That
and then
shit
at the end of the year, we had the Skank Off of like the six best or worst. And then whoever won got the Crown of Cox at the end of that. Crown of Cox. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
But who did we got this week, Pete?
So we got, yeah, I got sidetracked. Sasha, the cannibal, and his mom.
And his
sick
mom.
Motherfuckers. Luring children into their apartment, torturing and raping and killing them, and then cannibalizing their flesh and discarding the rest in a river. Now, we're not trying to sit here and laugh about kids being, because it's
definitely
fucking horrible.
Not.
But if you listen to the show, you know what you're going to get. Yeah. So if that's going to bother you, then go listen to something else, I guess, today, because we're going to get fucking nasty.
And it's going to be funny.
Yeah. And we're
in our own sick ass sense of humor.
Sick fucking way. But this Russian family affair is fucked. And definitely don't want to miss it if that's your thing. As you mentioned, dude, we got live Skype with CK.
Yes, sir.
Talking some U.S. thrash metal, East versus West Coast. So that should be good. So that should be cool talking about that. Always fun to do a live call with CK.
Hell yeah, it is.
Another round of the Killer Cage Match, which is definitely catching fire. We really can't get over the great response. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty
crazy.
Fucking badass. The Killer Cage Match. Like,
in
soon
a
as
couple of years, you can probably do like a Fantasy Killer League.
We could, oh, shit, awesome. Dude. God damn.
Yeah, we could.
Patented. That's copyrighted.
There you go. Nice.
Hell yeah, dude.
Nice. And I could write all the grindcore stuff.
Yes. Hell yeah.
So we're going to do a Skype with him, and the cage match is going to be killer. We got some new ones up on the block. I don't know, last week did we tease with the names, but then the objects later?
No, we just found out the names. Oh, yes, we did.
So this
week...
It was Catherine
Knight.
Last week, that's how we did it. So this week... We got Edmund Kemper, like 7 foot.
He's a fucking giant.
Rich Ramirez, who's
skinny as fuck.
80 pounds. Yeah. So this is going to be a good one.
Dude,
but,
so fun.
But the objects.
Wait
though,
till you hear what the objects
the
are.
The objects
Jesus.
Are great. So we'll get those two in a cage and we'll see. We'll get Cashman here to chime in on his thoughts on it.
Fuck yeah.
So it should be fun. So let's fucking kick some goddamn ass. Episode 23.
Fuck yeah. Bet you can't kill just one.
You had some nice church music there. That's fucking brutal, man. I sing pretty rough, but wow.
Disgorge, though? What?
Fucking nasty shit. Love it.
Cashman don't even like Disgorge at all.
No. Well, we already went over he's a Britney Fox guy.
King's a fucking California for sure, those
Hell
dudes.
Yeah.
In advance, you're going to have to excuse our Russian or lack thereof, because we're going to butcher this shit.
Yeah, it's going to be fucked.
It's going to be funny, but we're going to do our best.
Though.
But Beavis and Butthead, the Beavis and Butthead in us does have some limitations when it comes to
talking. I don't do good.
You do fine. But this shit is like fucking insane.
Yeah.
Sasha the Cannibal of Siberia is the nickname of our feature here. The Russian media gave him that, but his actual name is Alexander Spesivev or something like that.
Spesivev,
it's very strange, but it starts with an S and ends with a V.
Yeah, and it's so
he's
fucked up.
Sasha is a common nickname apparently for the name Alexander.
That's so weird.
I listened to a podcast that was so hard to listen to, I had to shut it off, and I'm not going to say who.
Right,
I'd never heard them before, but it was awful, in my opinion. And they kept saying, I don't know why they call him Sasha, you know, and I'm just like, Have you Russian. Heard of fucking Google? I mean, seriously, like...
like, look it up.
If you're... That's just sheer laziness, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. That just drove me fucking nuts to listen to it. So anyway, Sasha is a common nickname for Alexander. So that's what we'll probably just refer to
as Sasha. We will be saying Sasha, because his name, I don't know.
Now, what's fucked up, though, because these Russians are fucking whack, there's another Sasha the Cannibal.
The chessboard guy?
The chessboard killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's actually really fucking interesting, and we might need to do this one.
Hell yeah.
And it was funny because last week we always talk about, like, okay, this is the one we're going to do next, you know?
Right.
And I remember telling you, like, dude, make sure you do the right Sasha.
Yeah, you're like, look up the like, correct Sasha.
I don't
like,
think we've ever had to do that before. Like there's two
killers with the same name, man.
Yeah, they need to get a little more inventive, I think.
I guess. Sasha, so, the fucking cannibal. Yeah.
Remember they did Sasha. Have the case with the two Zodiacs because the East Coast
Right.
Oh, yeah, that is
that
true.
That was a weird one,
That
too.
Is right. But, yeah. Yeah, there are some weird
and,
things.
Oh, the Golden State was also called the Night Stalker as well.
Right? For a while, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, right. He was.
Way to go, media, trying to fuck us up.
Yeah. Well, the media comes up with these names. You know, the more sensational, the better. They can sell more
for sure.
ads Hell, yeah. or newspapers or whatever they're trying to peddle off. But Chessboard Killer's interesting. Go check that out. He put, like, numbers on the chessboard that corresponded with his victims.
So fucking weird.
Really fucked up. But this one, he's got a mother that helps, which is why I wanted to do this one, more so than the Chessboard Killer, because the whole mother and son thing,
it's so fucking crazy, dude.
Really fucked up.
So fucking crazy.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that shit. But Sasha was only convicted of killing 4, but there were as many as 82 likely victims because they found 82 sets of clothes.
Like bloody clothes and jewelry and everything
else. And
none
of the blood matched theirs. So they were other people's blood, children's outfits, 82 of them.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Pile of shoes. I mean, they were like, it was almost like Nazi death camp style where they kept all the stuff and like made use of it. It's like,
and all this was awful. In like a 5-year period.
It wasn't even that long. Yeah. No, it was not.
His house, all the clothes in the house looked like Goodwill House of Gore.
Yeah, for sure. But really fucked up. And so we thought we'd be interesting with the, you know, gruesomeness though, definitely going to be ramped up here. So Sasha was born March of 1970 in some fucked up city in Russia.
Hold on, check this out. I'm going to try and say it, dude. Novokuznetsk, Russia. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going with Novokuznetsk. Okay.
That's the town he lived in?
Yeah, yeah. That's where he was born at.
That's where he was born. But I just said some fucked up named city in Russia that has to be some frozen over piece of shit in the Kamarovo Oblast. I don't know what the fuck that even means, but anyway.
It sounds like a fucking metal band named Kamarovo Oblast.
So I don't know. But it's Siberia. He was underweight at birth, but somehow managed to survive in some rough fucking times. I mean, serious fucking depravity, no fucking food. I mean,
nothing. And
really bad.
He was really bullied really bad in school and everything as he got older.
He was, but, and it's like the common, I mean, yeah. So many of these we do. It's like bullied at school, you know, an outcast,
something
no
happened.
Friends.
Yeah, he didn't have any friends and everything and fucking, and he was really close with his mom, but his dad apparently tortured the whole fucking family.
Yeah, that's what they said. The whole family.
Like the whole family.
He like in turn. Like,
yeah.
Okay, you.
You, come here. It's your turn for
the
beating.
Fuck? That's so fucking crazy. And they didn't really get into what the torturing was, so I really don't know if he
was
like
this is a little limited.
Waterboarding fucking little Johnny or what the fuck he was doing.
Man. It was wild because this happened in the 90s, right? And
yes.
You said he was born in the 70s.
Right.
It really is reminiscent, the whole storyline behind his upbringing and what happened with him with Andre Chikatilo.
Yes.
From there also, but just earlier on.
Earlier, right.
Yeah.
But man, there were a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I think I was listening to something where they said there was a lot of cannibalism in Russia, and sadly, only because there wasn't enough fucking food.
Yeah, everybody's fucking
fucked up, but I mean, like, people were fucking starving.
I read
starving
something about that.
Well, they
a lot
also
of
said,
on.
Too, because since it was communist, there was no way their government said there could be something like a serial killer in their community because it was communist. So they would just completely wipe
deny
it all
and
yeah.
try to just be like, oh, yeah. this isn't happening.
Yeah, it's so, yeah. so crazy.
That's a good point, Joey, because, yeah, I mean, they tried to hide fucking everything.
Yeah.
In communist situation, you know, we're perfect. There's yeah, no, like, right. there's no yeah. gay Iranians right. or whatever. Like, dude,
you're
seriously,
fucked in your head
there
if you
are
think
some,
that.
Obviously,
right?
But you know, it's fucking ridiculous shit like that. You know, it's just stupid. You know, stupid mindset. But yeah, I mean, it's just fucking brutal. And just the common things you always hear.
Yeah,
with, you know,
when it comes to these
upbringing.
Killers and
you know,
shit,
brutal, abusive fathers, or alcoholics, you know, beaten up, underweight, you know, outcast types,
hanging yeah. your piss sheets in the window.
That's right. yeah, hiding piss sheets. Yes. His mother, though, Ludmila.
I go with Ludmila.
Ludmila.
Yeah,
worked at a school nearby. Sasha's very affectionate toward him. They actually slept in the same bed until he was 12.
He's fucking 12,
that's
dude.
That's pretty fucked up.
That's you know? Pretty messed up, man. Yeah. Would it be weird to tell you I had a dream about banging my mom last night?
yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Woke
obviously.
Up with her dentures in your ass?
Oh, damn, damn. Son.
Or if you, like, rolled over with a fucking semi, and it's like, mom's butt cheeks.
Like, oh, my God.
You know? Be like that planes, trains, and automobile. Yeah. Oh, how about that bear game?
How about that bear game?
Yeah, that was fucking awesome, dude.
Oh,
that
shit,
that movie's
dude.
A shit. But, yeah, I mean, they were sleeping in the same bed, and... His mother would show graphic photographs of dead bodies to him.
Yeah, from like fucking medical
age.
Books and shit
yeah.
when he was super young. Yeah,
like,
that shit was weird.
What the fuck did you think this was going to do to
like,
him? You know?
Oh, this is normal. I can fucking do whatever I want and make that happen.
Yeah, yeah he was like obsessed.
It made him hungry.
Yeah.
That's what it did. Yeah. It made him hungry.
Was he an only child?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was.
I don't think so, but I don't have anything on
yeah,
brothers
and sisters.
Yeah, I
didn't really see much about that.
Yeah.
It says like, the father tortured the entire family,
true.
So
yeah,
I mean...
There's a few kids, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he was an only child.
Communism denies the rest of the family.
That's right.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, and he was just, as he was in his teen years, you know, when everybody's got a million fucking things going on, with their bodies and fucking, you know.
Now he found it in a different way.
He was fucked up because of this fucking, you know, exposure to all this death and this fucking abusive house and all this shit going on. So he was like a fucking time bomb.
I mean, he probably had mental illness anyway, but everything going on in his life
yeah,
didn't
did
fucking
help
at all.
No. And he was ended up in a medical mental health facility in 98.
Right.
When he was 18. Now he gets out. From there, he kills his fucking girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he was found to be insane.
And got 3 years in a mental asylum for murdering his girl. He, like, choked her out, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Up close and personal. So, yeah, I mean, pretty
like 3 years in a mental institution for murdering your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then they just let him out with no cares.
No big deal.
Like, go.
So where does he go? Goes to mom's.
Goes to mom's.
You know,
fucking, they get a whole apartment together.
They didn't even necessarily say that he was cured when they let him out.
No,
they didn't at all. That's what I'm saying. They just let him out. Your time's up. Go.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? So he moves in with his mom in her apartment in Siberia, and then that's when things got a little fucked up.
Mama starts helping a little bit with this shit.
A little bit. And so anyway, for... Whatever fucking thing, he had a hatred for capitalism and the ways of the West, and he said it caused the fall of the Soviet Union, which
it
did.
It did, yeah.
But he was hateful of that. And so he would, like, write, like, articles when he was in prison.
Yeah,
later.
He'd write poems, and he had all, like, yeah, he wrote a couple of books
really
about capitalism.
He was, like, really into that hatred of the West.
Yeah.
Anti-democratic, for sure. The democracy was not what he liked.
And that's, he would go on these rants, he called them his crusade against capitalism and democracy. And that's where he justified killing these fucking kids.
Yeah, because he's like, these kids aren't shit.
Well, yeah, he said, you know, that they're a burden on society, but they're caused by the West.
The capitalism.
And he said that the West and the democratic nations kill people themselves anyway. So he's just doing the
doing them a favor and getting job taken care of.
I mean, obviously, the dude was fucking nuts.
Oh, obviously, dude's a fucking nut job out of the fucking goddamn world.
Yeah, I mean, he's just out of fucking control with this hatred. And that's when he starts doing this shit. And they lure the kids. He would either go to, like, train stations or, like,
poor homeless kids and shit.
Yeah, street kids. Most of them orphans or, you know, nowhere to go. And fucking terrible. You know, he would tell me he'd had food at the house, you know.
Or, and his mom would lure him
in. His mom brought the last victims actually were helping.
Right.
His mom bringing in groceries, and that's when she got him in the apartment, and then fucking Sasha fucking did his thing. But we'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, he, with her help, did a lot of fucked up shit.
Like, and terrible shit.
Yeah, because they would get the kids in the apartment, and then he would torture, rape fucking,
and
like
brutalize them, and then kill them.
Yeah, brutal shit. I mean, fucking choking them out, fucking hanging them. I mean, really, really nasty shit. Stabbing them. The one that they found half alive had, like, multiple abdominal stab wounds and chest wounds. It's like, what the fuck?
This dude's a fucking
And people wonder how, like, some of this can go on, like, with all these kids. But over there, especially there was such an underworld of misfit kids and homeless kids that ran.
And like nobody said, cared, Joey, you know, the Soviets, when it was the Soviet Union, were like, oh, we don't have a poverty problem. No. You know? All these people are starving in the streets. Yeah. It was terrible, you know. So, yeah, he preyed on those, which is another one of these common things we keep hearing in our shows of cops didn't give a fuck because they were poor kids who nobody gave a fuck
and
about.
They just didn't
they
give a fuck.
They did not give a fuck.
Like, and
straight up, no fucks
apparently
given.
They said, quote, didn't have the funds to do anything. It's like, you're trying to find these people.
Right.
How can you not have the funds?
I know. I mean, it's hard to even imagine and how that apartment got that far fucking gone.
Oh, my God, for real, though.
Before somebody fucking said something and got, or the plumber saved the fucking day, you know.
Which, I mean, a lot of, well, I mean, I don't know about a lot, but neighbors, they did say something.
They did, but nobody would do anything, you know?
Yeah. It's like, there's a putrid smell decay.
He played fucking music really loud.
They said he played, I was always wondering what kind of music. I know. They said loud,
rock,
heavy music. Yeah.
Rock. So that could be anywhere from fucking, you know, Creed to fucking Disgorge.
We should write a letter to Sasha and see, like, what kind of music were you playing when you were dismembering these bodies?
Exactly, dude. Would it happen to have been fucking Gormonger? Low 12? Anything like that? So, anyway, so he's off the fucking rails. He's getting these kids. Boys, girls, but they're all younger kids. Which
it didn't
really
matter.
Awful. 5, 6, 7.
The meat's more tender, like, when they're younger. It's like veal.
Yes. it's fucking disgusting. But the mom, though, when he was doing all this stuff, she was obviously in the know.
Yeah, she had.
She
how
was
could
like,
she not fucking
right,
know?
But she was preparing recipes on how to cook them.
How to cook the human
body. And experimenting
with
different things, and they would try them, and then some she would freeze, and so it was like a fucking operation. I mean, that's how they lived on fucking human meat for 5 fucking years, basically.
Yep.
No, dude.
Which is really fucked up.
That is really fucked up. Like, you don't have to go buy any burger, you don't have to buy...
Yeah, they get the same
like,
things, dude.
A kid's free on the street. You want to take that home? Like, it's cattle. Like, it was literally cattle at the time.
Well, for sure. And like Joey was saying, you know, nobody give a shit. You know, cops didn't
nobody
do
gave a fuck.
Overwhelmed.
It was literally cattle.
That was the Russian equivalent of the link card back then.
Pretty much. There you go. Just pick one up, bring it home. You got a quota of how many.
Right.
Like
holy
deer tags.
Shit, dude.
You know?
That's so bad.
But it is. It's
That's
awful.
Hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, he would just fucking do this, and he had a Doberman.
Yeah.
And sometimes
the thing was
he would
mean as fuck.
Use the Doberman to like corner him in a room so they couldn't get out.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. Like, this shit would go on for days. They, the neighbors heard screaming. and thought it was him because they knew he had been let out of a mental institution.
So they just thought he was fucking just over there in some fucking...
Like, how the fuck do you mistake like a 30-year-old dude
compared to a fucking 12-year-old
kid screaming?
Yeah. Like really? What the fuck, dude?
Not to mention the stench of decay.
Yeah, not to mention the stench
of
decay.
You're smelling that and hearing that. Right. It's like, oh, it's that crazy.
And the cops don't care.
Joey, just think of how many songs that you could have wrote.
Oh, man.
In the apartment next door.
Yeah.
There's a schizo song. We had it on one of the heavycore comps. It was my favorite one was 667, the neighbor of the beast.
Right, right.
Hell oh, yeah. I fucking love that shit. It was so funny. Yeah, they've got such a great sense of humor. Love those dudes.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he would do this, and they would kill him and eat him. And this was, like Joey said, 91 to 96. So a five-year period, not much.
Not very long.
To right? mount up nearly 100 fucking victims.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the estimates were up at that 100 mark. But
yeah.
Who really knows? I mean.
Same way with a lot of these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
they
we don't know.
Who knows how many they killed?
And a lot of them brag. We know that, you know. But this one, I mean, they found 82 sets of clothes.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's a pretty good indication.
That's pretty good premise of how many people were in those clothes.
Yeah, at least.
And like then, the bloods didn't match the like the victims that were already there.
Right,
they didn't match each other's.
Or Sasha and his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's fucked up. But they wound up, you know, taking whatever they didn't eat or freeze or whatever.
In the Abba River.
And she dumped
Abba.
Them. Abba.
Yeah.
Abba.
River, which was near where she worked.
And
showed her, like,
she worked at
about,
a,
like,
again, she worked
buckets,
at a school.
5 gallon buckets walking down the street.
Just fucking dumping it.
Nobody
she
asked
got in the
you,
bucket.
Oh, what the fuck is that? It stinks, you know. And she's dumping the shit.
Dude, as poor as everybody was, I'm surprised they weren't like, is that fucking meat you're just throwing away?
Yeah, right.
Like, really? Fucking, can I
who
get
knows?
A piece of
she
that?
Might
like,
have sold. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
she could have sold
have
some. Who knows?
$2, $3.
I'm fucking Joe Matheny shit right here, dude. Yeah. I'm just going to sell you this human meat.
Yeah. I mean, she could have started a real operation.
Fuck yeah.
But they did find these body parts, like, washing up
yeah,
on
they
the
started
shore,
floating
so
up.
The police did know something was up, but, like we said, you know.
They didn't
just
care.
Didn't really care. Right.
They didn't care.
These were like non-people to them, which is a 1984
and
style
being, I think about it as like 1984, and like, damn, life was that shitty for you in 1994?
Yeah.
Like, what? I know I said 84, but.
That's all right. Well, I said 1984 in the book. Yeah. I mentioned the book 1984, so that's what you heard. So.
Which was very 1984.
Yes. The non-people thing. But yeah, I mean, so the neighbors were complaining, police did nothing, you know, we hear this all the time, but, you know, we're talking fucking Siberia, like anybody gives a fuck, hardly any police, way understaffed,
right, yeah,
the ones that
shit.
Were there just straight up didn't give a shit, they had high crime rates and theft.
And like you said, this is after these fucking neighbors have been calling about this.
Right.
A terrible smell and the loud music constantly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fucking nasty. I can't imagine the fucking smell. The cops didn't do anything. Now, finally, though, a neighbor has a plumbing issue.
Yeah, right? They had a pipe burst.
So the plumber's over there. You can imagine fucking Siberia in the dead of fucking winter. That probably happens quite often.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure they were probably flushing body parts down the toilet,
Well, that's
too.
What I wondered, too. What was that one? Nielsen in England? He was doing
Nielsen,
that.
Yeah, Nielsen. Yeah, he was cutting it up and flushing it and they clogged it up. Yeah,
H.H. Holmes.
Yeah,
H.H. Holmes.
Holmes was the fucking expert.
Right, right.
Yeah, he was in a class by himself.
Yes, he was.
So, yeah, but anyway, the plumbers, you know, they realize now the issue is actually in
Sasha's apartment.
So they knocking on the door, of course, can hear the music, can hear talking, but nobody's coming to the door.
So they force it open.
So this motherfucker just kicks the door. You gotta fucking love that shit.
Dude, that's, yeah, he's just like,
that's
fuck
pretty
it.
Pretty badass.
Yeah.
This is,
fuck hey, this.
In the words of Bert Kreischer, this is Russia. Fuck that bitch.
Yeah. I mean, he might have took a slug of fucking vodka and said, fuck this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go home,
fuck
bitch.
It, yeah.
I don't want
to
have
to
come
I need
back
to
out here
fix
to this
fucking pipe.
So he fucking busts the door in, and what does he find, dude?
Oh, there's this 15-year-old girl named Olga.
Yeah, I didn't catch her last
catch name. Catch her last name. Olga but something.
Olga, 15.
Stabbed up yeah. on right. the fucking couch.
Chest and abdomen.
She's yeah. still alive at this point.
Yeah, still alive, alive at this right, point. Right. Barely alive. But she's alive long hospital. Enough to fucking tell them what happened.
Right. And that her and two of her friends.
And two of her friends, they were carrying grocery bags for the mom.
Right.
I'm not going to try and say her name again.
No. Ludmila.
Ludmila, yeah. Carried grocery bags for the mom. And
yep.
they, once they got in the door, freaking Sasha and his Doberman cornered yeah. them up.
Yeah.
Like, done.
Yeah, he raped all three. And then he killed one and made the other two fucking hack her up.
Cut her up
in
the fucking bathtub, yeah. dude.
And then the second girl, he fucking had the dog fucking attack her and ripped her fucking throat
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And they said
like, that. God damn. I mean, this is just some nasty I read that, shit.
I read that the mom also fucking took the first girl and cooked her and made the other two eat
oh,
like
I,
the soup and shit
I
or
think
something.
You're right, dude.
Like,
yeah, because this went on for a few days.
Yeah,
this wasn't,
yeah, yeah. This wasn't
minutes.
Like 10 minute
yeah,
situation.
This was several
this
days. That's what's fucked up about him. I mean, it's bad enough to kill somebody, but to do that to him day after day and beating him and raping him and doing all this nasty
and then he's
shit,
like, now I'm going to eat you,
and now you're going to get
like,
killed
I,
and eaten.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
And they I know gave I was, no fucks him or his mom because there was just blood all over the walls.
Yeah,
the
everywhere, dude.
Yeah, body in the tub, yeah. body parts all over, a rib cage in the
yeah.
living room.
And then he like when they the busted the door in to get in for the plumbing, though, he like escaped off his balcony and shit.
Right. So the mother was there and the Olga, the one on the couch.
Olga, the one on the couch. And then what was in the bathtub, homie?
A body, a headless corpse.
A headless corpse just mutilated.
And then on the kitchen and counters there was like meat in like bowls and stuff.
Yeah, and they found
like
a just open laying there on the floor in the living room. I think they found a rib cage, yeah. a human rib cage and
yeah.
shit, dude.
Yeah, it's really
like,
fucked up.
This dude's like, him and his mom both, I don't give a shit. Him and no. his mom both are mentally
and
fucking
they
deranged.
Started doing this in 91, and if I'm correct, that's right when Dahmer got caught.
No, that was when Dahmer, that
yeah,
was the year
right.
Dahmer
so they
got
were probably
yes.
quite influenced by that.
Yeah,
too.
Yes. very much so. Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. Your serial killer knowledge is exceptional. Of course, we
yeah.
went on the Dahmer tour.
I was
going to
say, the Shakers tour?
Yeah, the
Come
Shakers.
On.
Yeah, speaking of Shakers, I'm psyched to do that that episode.
Yeah, we're going to get that one ready. I know you guys
October.
Have been waiting.
It's
I know
be
we've
really
talked about
good.
It a lot, but
it's
you're going to
really,
enjoy
really
it.
It's going to be good, I promise. So, yeah, I mean, this is just some crazy shit. Plumber, thank God, fucking... did that, so the cops finally fucking show up, but like you said, homeboy escapes out the back, but they caught him pretty quick.
They caught him a couple days later
yeah.
in this woman's apartment who he was
trying to rape.
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't stopping.
Yeah, no, he wasn't stopping at all. He's like, well, they're after me. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I can.
Yeah, I mean, pretty fucked up.
So fucked, dude.
Yeah, so this dude is definitely a sick bastard. But yeah, I mean, they were all raped.
Tortured like a motherfucker.
Brutally killed and then in most cases eaten, which is just fucking nuts.
Yeah. Alfred Packer all over again.
Yeah, big time. Well, I've been listening to that last podcast on the Donner Party.
Yeah.
yeah.
So they mentioned Alfred Packer in part two.
Nice.
Right at the beginning. Nice. I was like, could have done a tip of the cap to our friends at Murder Metal Mayhem.
Right.
For
Come
already
on,
fucking doing
we
this.
We already yeah. did, Alfred Packer.
No, it was good, though. That, I was like that.
I haven't listened to that yet, but
it's
yeah.
It's very good.
I'm going to plug yeah. Last Podcast on the Left all the time because it's yeah, my favorite.
Wearing the fucking shirt. But anyway, you know, they were ruled in, or he was ruled insane and committed to a psychiatric hospital. No shit.
And he's still alive after
yes.
all this shit.
Yeah. Ludmila or Mila.
His mom.
She
fucking,
denied any involvement, yeah. but yeah,
but
right.
she still got convicted
years.
For
she
13.
She was guilty and did 13 years.
13
she
years. So she's
out
now.
2008.
Need to go find me a new
wife. Now, this cracked me up. She tried to move back to her old apartment.
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking serious? I didn't see that. Holy like, shit, I didn't fucking see that.
Why would you even want to be on the fucking block?
Yeah, no, everybody's going to be like, you need Yeah, you're going to get lynched one night,
no
dude.
No fucking fruitcake from you, bitch, because I don't know what the fuck's in it.
No meat pies.
Yeah, we're not doing the barbecue in this year, bitch.
No, hell no.
You go to fucking McDonald's.
Yeah, fuck off. That's fucking crazy.
So, yeah, so that's crazy that she's out. But then she tried to stay with her daughter, and her daughter was like, fuck.
No, you get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you're crazy.
So, obviously, he wasn't an only child.
Right.
Right.
All right,
there you go.
Boom.
There you go. Her whereabouts, though, are unknown, but she's never publicly spoken about this.
Would you?
Right. I mean,
even after she's she got caught. Yeah,
she's probably out still fucking doing it somewhere.
Very possible. I mean, because 5 years of straight up just eating humans is
it's like, oh, that's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, that's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's so fucked, dude.
But like you said, Sasha's still a patient at a hospital. He writes articles about the horror of capitalism, has executed, or he has excused his crimes by saying that free markets have killed more people than he did, so he should be free.
Right.
And apparently, this is interesting, he's trying to sell his head in advance of his death
for cigarettes. He's like, hey, if you give me some cigarettes now,
you can take my head.
Like, no, I saw that too. I was like, wait,
I mean, dude,
how
really?
Fucking crazy is this dude for real?
I know, right?
Like, hey, give me some cigarettes. You can have my head when I die, bro.
Right. That's fucked up.
That's so fucked up.
So, yeah, I mean, that dude is just fucking whack. So the next episode, though, we're going to be doing a full show.
On the bloodshed show that we went to.
That
hell yeah.
Was so amazing. We had such a
good
time.
Joey was here there. Fucking
Gormonger was tearing it the fuck up. A bunch of bands were there that we loved to... we recorded.
There's some interviews. There's some music.
Roger River, fucking Necrocannibal Ass Grinder.
We got a bunch of them.
Yeah, they're all fucking... We did some really good stuff. Got some really good stuff. And so that's next week. So you're going to have a full episode on that. So there won't be any murdering next time.
It'll be all metal and mayhem,
it's
though.
It's going to be all a lot of metal and mayhem. So fuck yeah.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, dude?
Not much.
You hear that in the background?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's up, TK?
What's up, Mr. Shawback? What's going on?
Oh, what? You got Cashman here with us again, homie.
What's up,
again?
TK? Yeah. Cashman outside. And he's been looking at the score, and we've been updating, but we're being very civil about it. We're being very civil about it, CK, but I feel better with you in my corner here.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Fucking got to stick together, bro.
Exactly. So we've been doing the show here. We just did some murdering, some brutal fucking cannibalism.
Oh, my God. Cannibals, man.
Sick shit. So we're leaving that now, and we're going into metal. And so, like we've done, if you wanted to stick through the whole thing, you know, after you're done with your part, you can stick around.
Hell yeah.
And do the rest of it, because we've got a few things we're going to talk about and stuff beyond this. So.
That's cool.
So you got some thrash metal. We're going to talk about U.S.
Yes.
Thrash,
right? What's up with thrash, CK?
U.S. thrash, not to be confused. I mean, we already did the thing with the German thrash, but
right.
Thrash, I think, is an American thing anyway. Obviously, Metallica, the first quote thrash band to pretty much put it on the map, but I think there's a distinct difference between East Coast and West Coast thrash.
For sure.
Honestly,
any kind of music, I think there's an East Coast and West Coast difference. It doesn't matter what the genre is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, I mean, especially when you come to like the punk
and like hard
the metal thing.
Shit.
You definitely have the two, not extremes, but you can tell the difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with you and I, CK, and for a period of time, Cashman, growing up on the East Coast, It's a lot different. I remember even just moving here to the Midwest. I mean, it seemed like everything here was like a couple of years behind where I right. left. So it seems like, you know, things start on the coasts and then somehow end up
they in drag the themselves into the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it does that with most everything, but especially music. I mean, it's a weird thing, but like you said, we were lucky enough to experience the, you know, the East Coast thing.
Yeah,
you know, definitely the East Coast has the more hardcore feel to the thrash sound as opposed to the new wave of British heavy metal on the West Coast. I think the West still has a little bit of punk influence, but not as much as the East Coast.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and, just playing Anthrax just now. I mean, you could. I mean, Anthrax obviously been around for a long time, but I mean, the earliest stuff. I mean, you could definitely hear a lot of that hardcore edge. You know, they were crossing over really metal and from metal into hardcore, and I remember they were the ones that really, at least in the metal scene, were doing the moshing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they were the first. I mean, you had them. You had Overkill, who kind of had a little bit of punk thing going, not as much as Anthrax.
Right, right.
But, you know, then Dan Locher split from Anthrax and formed Nuclear Assault. You definitely saw a definite hardcore influence in that.
Right. And then, like we talked on the phone, you know, the Crumbsuckers, then Gary left and did Propane. Another very hardcore edge influence to, especially the early Propane.
Oh, definitely. And Crumbsuckers, great fucking band.
Oh, yeah.
Morphed into Propane, another great band. And you had Ludachrist, you know, at the same time, too, who kind of had that same sound. But as far as the East Coast thing, it was weird because, I mean, we grew up on it. And what... It wasn't the most friendly thing between the hardcore kids and the...
they used to, like, try to cut the metalhead's hair off and...
Oh, yeah.
Beat guys, them up dude. And shit. Yeah, and beat each other up all the time.
Hey. I don't know how it was on the West Coast. I mean, I don't know if it was as bad as it was on the East Coast, but I remember going to, like, CBGB's and with my long hair.
Right.
Oh, my God. I wish I was able to go to CBGB's one fucking time in my life, dude. I'd never been there ever.
I've been there a few times. It's fucking cool. It was cool. It's done.
It was cool, but it was just a rancid fucking pistol.
Oh, I know. It was just that name. Just being at the marquee, like, oh, wow, you know.
He said it's a rancid fucking place.
You know, but you'd go there with your long hair, you kind of weren't welcome.
Right.
And it wasn't until, like, I think the Cro-Mags came around, and they kind of bought the whole thing together as far as the metal and hardcore thing, and they made, to me, they made it more acceptable for the metal kids and the hardcore kids to listen to the same band.
Right.
West Coast, you know, they just had more of that new wave of British heavy metal sound to it. Metallica, Megadeth,
Slayer,
Forbidden, Slayer. You know, they had that.
That Bay Area shit.
Yeah, and I mean, you had a little bit of the hardcore influence. You had DRI.
Right.
Even though they originally weren't from California, but were transplants from Texas.
Right. Suicidal tendencies, too. We were talking
suicidal
during break. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the first album was a complete hardcore album. Then after that album, you saw them slowly morph, born to metal.
Right, doing solos and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what they say. You know what the difference between a hardcore band and a metal band is.
What?
Metal bands know how to play their instruments.
God damn, that's brutal, dude.
But metal actually, a hardcore kid told me that. He goes,
right.
He goes, people who play hardcore just are frustrated musicians who can't play metal.
Yeah. I don't know.
So
I had a couple of friends that were really into punk and hardcore and shit, but most all my friends were metalheads, so I don't really have much experience with it. Myself firsthand, other than a couple of the friends that I had that were really into it, and we did this like fun, like side project. I think I may have talked about this before on a on a podcast, but where we did the side project and wrote a song about this dude that got caught jerking off in a barn. That actually happened. Right, does that sound familiar?
No, it doesn't.
So anyway, sorry, CK, I'm going into weeds. I've been doing it all night. So anyway, there was this dude. I'll at least give him a break and not say his name because this was relentless.
Throughout high school, I know who you're talking about.
I know you do. Throughout high school, okay, he had a younger brother who was in my class, so he was a class older than me. And anyway, somebody lived nearby him, and they were cutting through the woods, and they heard this noise in this barn. And they fucking walked in on a dude just fucking whacking it.
Get the fuck out. You just stand on the bar just whacking his dick.
So anyway, we were partying and everybody called him Barn Boy. It was pretty bad. I mean, really bad, okay? So anyway, we were at this dude's house, you know, drinking, having a good time. And I just learned how to play bass, you know.
Right.
And so I was just fucking around. And I was writing songs, like, right from the get-go. And I, me and this other dude, we came up with this lick, you know.
You still remember it, too. Oh, I do. That's awesome.
And the fucking music, or the lyrics, of course, for me were really easy. I remember writing them on a plate, like a paper plate. But it was all, the song was called Barn Boy. So anyway, we recorded it. This dude had like a 4-track and we recorded it, and the local college there, Western Connecticut State, right there in Danbury, they had a
WXCI.
There you go. They had a hardcore like hour or something on Saturday night or whatever it was, Friday night. And this dude, that friend of ours that was really into punk, he was the drummer on this recording. He sent it in. We didn't even know. And we used to listen to this when we partied. I think it was Fridays.
Just for the fuck of it.
And Adventure Jukebox. Yeah, I think it was. The Adventure Jukebox. Yeah. How can I remember that? And I can't remember something I did 5 fucking minutes ago. It's fucking pathetic.
And the DJ was Daryl Ork.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that one, yeah, I would have never remembered him.
Yeah, he actually, unfortunately, just passed away from cancer, so.
Oh, that's fucked. So, he played it on the fucking show. We were all sitting there, we're like,
wait, what the fuck is going on, dude?
So there's these guys from Bethel, Connecticut, you know? And it was funny because our name that we went by was for the recording was Dick Bag and the Gonads. and so anyway, but he played the song and we were all excited and everything, and he said, and that was Barn Boy from some guys from Bethel called Sexual Justice. And I was like, what? And we were all like, what the fuck, you know? And he's like, I didn't think they would play it if it was Dick Bag in the Gonads. Well, now everybody thinks like we're gay or something. Like, I don't give a fuck, but it just sounds fucking lame, you know?
That's fucking hilarious.
So anyway, no, it doesn't fucking stop. So it was a hit. They were playing it all the fucking time on here. And they invited us to play a fucking fest, and we had to go in there and do an interview.
Holy shit, dude.
And so we made up names. So I was fucking Vic Boner or something stupid like that.
Some mentors names
fucking ridiculous
shit.
Because at the time I was trying to do the metal thing, and the band I just, you know, was starting out. Get a fucking break from anybody.
But
and
I need this one song for a joke.
Fucking song I wrote on a paper plate becomes this fucking little sensation.
That's fucking crazy.
On this college fucking radio station.
What did Barn Boy think about that?
So Barn Boy flipped the fuck out. So check it out. I'm glad you asked. He graduated that year. So this came out, if I remember right, like right before graduation. So it was like the perfect send-off, you know?
Right.
So anyway, this one dude that I was in class with, his brother was going to school at Arizona State, and that's where he went.
Oh,
and
shit.
So he found out what fraternity he belonged to, and this dude made like 50 copies of this fucking tape.
Get
and
the
sent
fuck
it to the fucking
out.
Fraternity house. Yes.
Holy shit.
That's fucking crazy.
So he was relentlessly fucking pounded with Barn Boy shit.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't prepare that story, but there you go. I had told this one before.
That should have been mayhem.
Yeah, sorry about that, CK.
No, that's all right. So it fits in.
Yeah, it does kind of, but now you got to follow that up. So good.
I don't know how the fuck I'm going to follow that.
You motherfucker.
I need to find that recording. Yeah. He's a barn boy.
Besides, I used to be in a hardcore band and we had a song called Die Pee Wee Herman, and that was played on NYU Radio.
Nice.
New York University.
Nice. Hell yeah, nice. Dude. Another guy jerking off.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Supposedly the guy who wrote the lyrics, supposedly, because we were a band, he threw us the song for the hell of it. We just did it as a joke.
Oh, nice.
Supposedly he murdered somebody. I don't know how true that
supposedly
was.
Supposedly he murdered somebody. Hey, you need to find out. Do we need to do a podcast on this guy?
Right.
I don't know. You might. I can't remember the fucking guy's name, but supposedly a couple years after he graduated, he was arrested for attempted murder, or he murdered somebody. I can't remember, but
nice.
But that's as far. I don't even know if I can follow that one up, but fuck it.
Well, where were you, on the West Coast?
Yeah, I mean, as far as West Coast, you know, it was definitely a new wave of British heavy metal. You know, Testament, Metallica, Megadeth,
right.
Forbidden, Harmonies, Heathen.
A lot of guitar-driven stuff, solos.
Right.
Ripping,
exactly.
Solos, yeah.
A little bit more melody.
Right.
Then maybe the East Coast. You know, then and Connecticut had its own great thrash band, a band called INC.
Yeah, man, they were really good, man. Indestructible Noise Command.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They were really good.
My old band did a show with them, and I was completely blown away because they were playing stuff. I was a little more into the heavier shit.
Yeah.
And these guys were fantastic. They were from, like, Stanford or something, weren't they, Chris, or Norwalk?
No, I think they were more of the Bridgeport area, I think.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, they're on. I saw them, like, they've got a Facebook, like, they kind of reconnected. Definitely has a very Pantera sound to me.
Yeah, now they have
the same.
The first two albums are great thrash records that are put out in the late 80s.
Right.
And like Pete said, they reformed a couple years ago, and it's more of a groove metal feel now. Really doesn't have the thrash metal feel anymore.
I think one of my favorites from the East Coast growing up, and still one of my favorite thrash to this day, it was Wargasm. Remember them?
Oh, hell yeah.
Massachusetts, I think.
They had
Don't Play Around was
the Don't Play Around was the first album. They had another album after that. They were amazing. I saw them live.
Oh, man. I never got to see them. I would love that.
That's how I discovered them. They were fucking amazing. They were a three-piece, too, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Then there was another East Coast band from Connecticut called Sonic Plague.
Oh, yeah. Sonic Plague.
They,
I forgot about that.
They just reformed, too, and they're still kicking around. They're doing shows and stuff.
That update.
I know that sound.
Little fantasy baseball action.
Right. That's about winding down now, I think.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suck, but I had fun doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
But so current East Coast thrash band that we just saw them at Full Terror Assault.
Oh yeah,
fucking Condition Critical.
Yeah, and Demolition
if you haven't heard,
Hammer too.
Dude, if you haven't heard Condition Critical, CK, check them motherfuckers out. They get it, bro.
Yeah, I think they're from Jersey.
Yeah, they're from Jersey.
Oh, are they? And I gotta check them. I definitely gotta check them.
They
out.
Got a really good old school thrash sound, like Municipal Waste pulled back. Good retro thrash.
I was gonna bring up
Municipal Waste.
About that, there's a lot of newer thrash bands popping up. Or
Havoc,
Municipal Waste, a great band called Revocation.
Yeah, Revocation's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm Metal Blade. They're fucking
Iron
phenomenal.
Reagan, they're really good.
A cool band out of Oregon called Toxic Holocaust.
Oh, I love Toxic Holocaust. Nice. Basically a one man, but with a band.
Well, yeah, he started off as a one man. Now he's a full band, and actually, drummer lives in Connecticut. He's from Milford, Connecticut.
Oh,
owns
nice.
A recording
nice.
Studio.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, they played Full Terror last year. I caught them. That was cool.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I was actually just had them cranking before earlier. They're fucking awesome. But you know, thrash, it's still kicking around. It's still, you know, still got some great thrash metal bands popping up. Rumpelstiltskin Grinders, another good one.
Yeah, they're good.
If you haven't checked them out, but you know, it's an American thing that I think grew out of you know, England. And it's a more Americanized genre of metal, I think. Like I said, you know, you have your definite divisions between the East Coast and West Coast. Not saying one is better than the other. They're both great. But just check out some of these bands. They're fucking awesome.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I have to say, too, CK, we were talking, or you and Joey and I, not this Joey, my son Joey, talking at the
when
Joey.
You gotta fucking make sure you're clear of who right. You're talking about.
The Queensryche stuff we were talking about, and then I went back and listened the next couple days to that self-titled, and then that the other one, Condition Human, and oh my fucking God. They were amazing, man. Wow. I mean,
it rips. It's fucking good shit.
Fucking ridiculous, man. He sounds at times like uncannily like fucking Jeff Tate.
Like Jeff Tate.
But
hell
he's
yeah.
Definitely different, and I really do what he does.
You could definitely hear the Jeff Tate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he has something that just makes him a little bit more unique.
Totally. And the fact that he's a really good drummer, I mean, like exceptionally good, can actually play all the instruments, working on some solo project where he plays all the instruments. So really a cool guy. But I was going to say, you and my son Joe were right on the fucking money with that stuff, because I listened and it was badass. Definitely
yeah.
The way they should have been right after Empire, that's where they should have picked up, was right from the self-titled.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I think it was Jeff Tate who was the who was probably the problem all along.
Yeah. And another one we talked about, Deicide. Holy shit. Overtures of Blasphemy.
Hey, look.
Wow.
I'm going to be an asshole right here. I listen to some of that new Deicide, and I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah?
No.
No?
Really? Not really. I know they got new guitarists. It ain't the Hoffmans and whatnot, but...
Right. I liked it.
I liked it, but it wasn't Deicide to me.
Okay.
It was a little more... Like, the guitars, obviously, because it's not Hoffmans, but... It's fucking weird to me.
Yeah?
What was okay. Badass?
Monstrosity.
Monstrosity.
Oh, that Monstrosity is fucking kills.
Monstrosity's new shit is fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah, that is really fucking good, man. I've been just jamming that and Deicide and going into the Queensryche, which is really all over the board, but it's been fun listening to some different stuff. So, I am also
Cashman right here, he's been talking about fucking... That new Lividity, and I've heard some of
it. I have to check that out.
He hasn't stopped listening to it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They got advanced copies before the release date's like the 6th. Okay. But the band got release copies, and they brought them to Full Terror, so I was able to pick one up.
Nice. Well, speaking of Full Terror, Joey, you wanted to talk about a little bit about that. You guys were there for a 3-dayer, man, in Southern Illinois.
We were there for 3 fucking days.
Sounded like a good time, and you opened it up and played at the end, right?
Yeah, I actually got lucky enough. It was really cool because this is my 4th year I've gone. It's the 4th year of the event, so I've been every year. This year I was invited to play. I opened the fest, and actually, for being the first band on a Thursday, there was a really decent crowd.
It was pretty badass. There's a video of it. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty awesome, man.
I got to also do a song with Sexual Atrocities, and I did the last song of the fest with Lividity, which was awesome. But
yeah, that's so awesome. You did Pussy Lover with Lividity. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But besides me, I mean, we got to see so many badass bands. Like Chris said, Condition Critical was... They probably had one of the rowdiest pits there. Power Trip. Power Trip's another badass
band.
Oh, Power Trip kills.
Yeah. I saw them awesome. Open for somebody, maybe it was Exodus.
Yeah.
At the Forge.
It was
they were really good.
We saw
they have that DRI feel to them.
Yeah, oh man.
Very much so.
So good. We saw, like, some of the headliners they had, like, the first night was Warbringer, which is another pretty good thrash band, and they
Warbringer's killer, too. They have like, four or five albums. Old school thrash.
The only beef I got with Warbringer, I think I said this one other time, I ordered a shirt from him, and he never sent
never
it.
Never got my damn shirt.
And I kept emailing the dude, and then he got nasty with me, and I told him to go fuck himself.
Damn it, Warbringer, where the hell's
come
the
on, brother, send me a shirt, dude. 3X, word of mouth, man.
The second night, the headliners for that night, Demolition Hammer played, and they probably had the biggest crowd of the whole festival. Nice. It was fucking a lot of activity, a lot of fucking energy.
I don't remember the second night.
I saw the video of the pit during Demolition Hammer.
They were just so amazing.
Yeah, dude, for real.
After them, Immolation played, and I kind of wish they would have flip-flopped them, because by the time Demolition Hammer did what they did, there was a lot of people that had kind of, you know, backed
take
off.
A break.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to say I like Immolation, but I was never like a diehard super crazy fan. But seeing them live this time, I couldn't take my eyes off them, and their guitarist is fucking amazing. But then the last night, it was so cool because we got to see Skinless.
Oh, dude.
On
Skinless
a small
so
stage.
Badass,
yeah,
dude.
Small
Skinless
fucking personal
so
stage.
Nasty.
And then Death Angel, which they were fucking amazing. After all this time, Death Angel still fucking
so
good.
Yeah, my son fucking loves them, man. Yeah. I like
them.
They
just keep on putting
it
out killer stuff.
They do.
Even though it's only one original member, but
right.
They put out some fucking great stuff still.
Yeah, fucking great band. And of course, like I said, the last band was Lividity, and they've just recorded their newest full length and released that, so they did some new songs off that. So yeah, Full Terror was a really fun time. I
anybody
highly suggest anybody
listening
to
this. Yeah. Anybody listening to this. Full Terror Assault. Haven Rock,
already,
Illinois.
They've already got the date set for next year.
Yeah, it's set to go, dude.
Yeah, so go on Facebook.
Get on
and
Facebook.
Like it,
they're
so you know
they're
what's
even
up.
asking for suggestions for bands that who would you want to play?
Yeah.
So like, my number one choice was fucking No One Gets Out Alive, because that dude from Germany kills it. But I don't know what he does live. But. Yeah.
You sure you don't want Britney Fox on there?
I want Britney Spears on my cock.
I second that.
I keep putting DRI on my wish list to him, and I know that Joey B, who does Full Terror, he said that he has been trying to get them, but it's a little harder. But.
Oh, sure. And it's a timing thing, too.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's awesome. But yeah, we're going to try to get a booth on that next year.
Yeah.
And to talk to those guys for
fuck
sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Get that set up. But any other Full Terror stuff, Joe, you want to mention?
No.
You
I
got
mean,
anything coming out? What's up with your merch list, dude? Like, how do people find your merch list?
Yeah, if anybody ever wants to get anything from me, just find the Goremonger page or FTA Records on Facebook. I do have a distro. I still sell CDs like a caveman.
Right.
And
what does FTA stand for?
It stands
for
Fuck the Ass. Fuck the Ass Records.
Yes, sir.
But I definitely distro with the bigger labels from all around the world to get the CDs into the States so people don't have to pay the crazy prices.
Fuck yeah.
Plus, I get my CDs over there, so pretty nice.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Any other local stuff? Shawback, anything?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
But yeah, dude. Always good to talk to you, CK. Appreciate you sticking around through the whole metal segment.
Hell yeah, brother.
Always good to be on, man. I love it.
Hell yeah. We just passed the hour mark, too. But
boom.
We've got some stories to tell here, CK, so we're going to have to let you go.
All right, brothers.
We're going to keep forging the fuck on, but as always, horns the fuck up, dude.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Later, all right, CK. Later, bro.
Slayer.
Fuck yeah, I love that song Threshold. I love that line. You're either or on my side or else you're in my way.
Yeah,
that's fucking
badass
awesome
line.
Dude, I love the way you fucking I would have to say, as a singer, metal singer and bass player, but I never really thought of Tom Araya so much as a great bass player. He holds his own,
right?
But as a singer, I absolutely love him. But that whole bass player singer thing, it was them, and it was Venom that got me into wanting to play bass and sing.
And do vocal, hell yeah.
Very different styles and stuff.
But of course,
that was
of course.
Just cool
but
to
yeah.
me. Because you didn't see, before them, at least that I can think right, of in right. metal.
A I mean, bass had, player doing fucking vocals as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Doing the heavier metal stuff. Not there's some
well,
rock.
No,
band,
yeah, no,
Thin
I know.
Lizzy
yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
And some of those, you know, but I'm talking heavier metal.
Heavy
yeah,
music.
Sure.
Like, normally it's a single vocalist or a guitar player.
Or a guitar player, right. So,
and I mean, Tom was doing that since, you know, pretty much he started with Slayer, so that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I, it, you know, growing up listening to death metal, I'm sure there was other bands, but one of the first big ones, it took a while, Deicide.
Glenn yeah, Glenn Benton. Benton. Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, I mean, there's a big period in between there.
Oh, sure.
For death metal to have caught up, because, like you said, it's rare to have the bassist vocals, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Or to be good at it.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's a challenge, that's for sure. But, anyway, we're in the Mayhem segment.
We're going to be telling some stories here.
Yeah, now, we got all three of us here got some stories to tell tonight, so this should be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's 1 hour and 5 minutes, so we'll see when the dust settles where the fuck we're at.
Jesus
but
Christ.
But I'm going to do mine first, and I've been alluding to this for a while.
You've been talking about it.
And I need to do it.
Just get it out, man. Because
it's
just it
too
out.
Fucking funny, but Tim... for Tim. Any of you that don't know, Tim McClellan started Low 12 with me back in 1998. We jammed in his basement on Graham Street. And, you know, he was one of those people I met that, like, instantly we clicked. Like, he was just the same fucked up sense of humor.
Right,
that I
right,
had.
Yeah. Everything
and
works
we really
out.
Clicked, you know.
Hell yeah.
So the whole band thing was a perfect match.
Dude was a
match,
bad motherfucker,
you know?
Though, dude.
And
I
he was a fantastic guitar player. And so anyway, Tim was just an interesting dude. And he did some of the funniest fucking shit. I mean, I'm just going to tell like a few like short Tim stories and kind of just a medley of it. But they're just some random ones that I remember. Porn in the hall in the hotel room was so fucking funny because we were playing. It was probably Missouri, but I can't be for sure.
Right, right.
But we were staying in a hotel, and he was flipping the channels, and he found porn. But the thing was, is like we had to, like we were gonna go, like we had already played and stuff, but we went to. No, I think he found it before we left to play, and he was freaking out the whole time at the show. That it was going to be off by the time he got back.
He's like, no, there's not going to be porn when
I get in the
hotel.
He didn't want to leave. I'm like, dude, seriously, we have a fucking show, you know? That's why we're here, so you can look at this fucking porn.
The so hotel it, room porn.
He refused to turn the TV off because he was afraid if he did, it would lose it. Somebody else wanted to watch something else.
Oh, my God.
And he
dude.
Was like, no.
Don't touch it.
They're going to fuck it up, you know? They're going to realize it. I'm like, what are you, they're going to realize it? So anyway,
oh my god,
that was fucking funny. So he was like sitting there. There's a picture of him like with his face like glued
just
to it, like
the TV watching fucking on the TV.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh my god,
it was
god,
some real
dude.
Bad fucking porn.
Oh,
fireworks. Okay, I never knew a person that was so into fucking fireworks.
I love fireworks.
I mean, he was fucking obsessed with this shit, and anytime we went. To Indiana, somewhere where you could buy them, he would want to stop, you know. And there's always,
oh, yeah, when there's
right
you
there.
Got the booze right there off the interstate, whatever,
right.
Like fireworks.
Because we can't
here.
Sell them here.
Because Illinois, like, you can't get them.
Yeah, pussies. So you got to go to Indiana.
Pussies.
So anyway, we would go over there to play. Tim would get fireworks. Now, Les, he was always really worried that Tim was going to do something to get us in trouble.
Get paranoid and shit.
He was super fucking paranoid. So anyway, I remember me and Tim out in the parking lot after a show. So you got to think it's like 3 a.m.
Right, right.
And we're just standing out there and he starts lighting off these fucking fireworks. And they're pretty fucking loud and fucking. fucking.
So I could see Tim doing that.
The
shit,
fucking
dude,
Indian
for real.
Dude. Fucking. Of course, it's an Indian guy. He comes out, you guys, what are you doing? And he's freaking the fuck out. Tim's like,
being American.
He goes, go back in there, old man. Shut the fuck up.
I'm oh, like, my God, for
dude,
real.
Dude, seriously, this guy's going to call the cop. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, well, I do.
What, dude? I ain't trying to go to jail.
Yeah, fuck this, dude. So Les was, yeah, he was the voice of reason on those. Another good Tim story. These all happen after hours. He was home from being drunk. Had the munchies.
Wait, okay. Home from being drunk or just home drunk?
He was both. He had been drinking, got home, fucked up.
And continued to drink?
Yeah, and he wasn't driving either because he hadn't had a driver's license.
Right, right, away, right.
Like a long time ago. He got busted driving or riding his YZ fucking dirt bike down the street doing a fucking wheelie for like two blocks.
Oh, my God,
yeah,
dude.
Drunk. Couldn't even fucking stand up. Yeah, it was.
But
really
he's good. Riding a wheelie though.
Totally.
Fuck you. I got balance, bitch.
That's how he lost his license. That's what I said. I'm like, you think walking the fucking line? If you can do
this
that,
this motherfucker's on his fucking dirt bike doing a wheelie. He's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He blew a stop sign, officer, and he's going like 100
on one wheel.
Yeah. Insane. So yeah. So he gets home. He's got the munchies. We've all been there. Yeah.
Everybody's been there.
So he takes a bag of combos and puts them in the microwave. Thought that would be a really good idea.
Yeah, probably not.
Sat down and fucking put one in his mouth. Burned the living shit out of the inside of his mouth. His lips. Dude, he only had one and it looked like he had fucking... like radiation on his face, dude. He was all fucked up because he freaked out.
That's fucking
so
hilarious.
So it got all over him. And say, yeah, because it was liquid.
Yeah, it's so lava, it dude. It's fucking lava.
Sprayed all over his face.
Holy it was shit,
fucking,
dude.
To hear him tell the story was so fucking funny. And then the last one, there's a lot more. I should do more tips.
Oh, these stories can be reiterated. Yeah. If you want to hear more about it, I'm sure Pete can tell you. Just comment on it.
Yeah.
It'd fucking be badass.
But there was one more, and I'll turn it over to you, Chris.
Oh, whatever.
Is Tim used to take baths because his the house he rented,
fucking Alex,
did not have a shower upstairs. Just had a bathtub. So anyway, so Tim used to take baths. Anyway, he had downstairs was his pretty ripping stereo system, like Bose, like high
right.
Fucking
badass
shit.
Stereo. I got very a badass much. Stereo, but I ain't got a shower.
Right, exactly. So anyway, he used to like to put on like death metal because that was Tim's thing. Yeah, Cannibal Corpse, he liked shit like that.
Right.
And he liked to put that on like and crank it. And then go upstairs and take a bath and just chill back, you know?
It's Alex. Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
It's so Alex,
when
dude.
I was doing heavy core, I got some of the worst fucking shit sent to me. Joey, I know you probably get the same thing with doing FTA.
Just random.
Awful shit. So, anyway, there was this band called Gil. G-I-L. They were from like Peoria or something. If you guys are listening, sorry, but you really suck. But they sent me this CD and it was so fucking horrible. It was like just awful noise. It was just awful. All right. So anyway, I saw Tim and I was like, dude, you have got to fucking check this shit out. He's like, what? I'm like, I don't even know if I can give it to you. Because it's probably the most extreme death metal I've ever heard in my life. And I honestly don't know, like, that shit, you got a nice system, dude, but this shit may just tear it up.
Play this shit.
Oh, give me that shit, you know.
Right.
Gil, he's looking at it. He's like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, dude, I don't know. It's like Swedish for, like, rape your mother or something. It's fucking badass, you know. Don't let that fucker bother you, dude, like the name. It's some other language, dude. I'm telling you, this shit is fucking ripping, you know. So anyway, it was a few days later. He calls me up. He's like, you're a motherfucker. I'm like, what? He goes, I put that fucking Gil on. I was like, yeah, did you like it? He's like, dude, that was the fucking worst shit I ever heard. Because it had this long intro, so I knew it would be perfect.
Right. Because he'd be in the bathtub, like, when's the music going to start?
He's not going to get out, and then it's going to start. And he just was, like, it was so bad. So anyway, but check it out. Like, a week later, we're playing at the infirmary, and the guy putting the show together comes over to the table. He's like, hey, we got to change. So-and-so couldn't be here, so I had another band open. And I'm
get
like,
the fuck out of
who
here.
Who is it? And he goes, I think their name is Gil.
Get the fuck out of here.
And
get
they
the
were
fuck.
They were tuning on stage, which was always for Tim, like nails on a chalkboard.
Right, like,
that's what a fucking tuner's for. Yeah. You know? Bang, yang, 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 yang. Oh.
Yeah.
Tim's like, get a fucking tuner. He's like screaming and shit. They were worse live than they were on that album. But
for real.
It was so funny. Because Tim was just sitting there shaking his head like, dude, I can't believe it. I got to listen to this shit all over again.
God damn it. That's always been a thing for me, though, dude. Like, I could listen to a band on their album,
yeah,
but when I see them live and they suck live, like, that crushes it. Like,
yeah, it's not the same.
I've had it happen the other way too, where I don't really like a band that I've listened to on CD, then I've caught them live, I'll be like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah, no, I've had that as well.
Yeah.
We used to get a lot of reviewers that said that about Low 12, which was the recordings were good, but they were so much better live. They're just the energy and whatever, you know. It's really hard to capture it in a digital, yeah, especially sure. digital recording.
Yeah, for sure.
So
shit was crazy, man.
So, yeah, so that's my little Tim story. Yeah. Medley.
Tim. So, I miss Tim, man.
I do.
That dude was so awesome,
yeah,
man.
Tim left the band October of 2001 and unfortunately committed suicide February 26th, 2002. So very unfortunate, of course. Devastating.
I knew he was badass, though.
And he was a great guy.
I love him.
So... anyway,
all hail Tim.
In tribute to Tim, I'm sure he would love hearing those stories again. Yeah. So, what do you got, Sean?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm going to tell this little story about... all right. So, me, my brother Adam, Craig Cole.
Nice. Colinator.
Yeah, the Colinator. His brother and his brother's old lady. We all worked at this same packaging facility in Pontiac, right?
Right.
Excuse me. So we're like working, doing our thing. We'd been working there for like probably a couple months or whatever. And this one day came. This one day came. We all ended up in this one spot together, all five of us. We looked at each other and we nodded our heads and we're like, yep, fuck it. Craig was driving a forklift. I was pushing a hand truck. And, like, everybody was doing their thing, but we all ended up in this one spot. And we all looked at each other, nodded our heads, said, you know what? Fuck this. So we fucking all just, like, walked out, left. Fuck this shit.
Oh, I thought you were going to do, like, a fighting. Like,
No. We all fucking left, dude. We're like, fuck it, dude. We're gone. So we left, and we're driving my brother Michael's car. And, his car, he had like a fucking something Cavalier. It was beat the fuck up because Michael had hit a deer driving this car. So the hood's all smashed in. And we had this welded fucking thing for the one of the headlights, like welded onto the hood and shit. So like it was fucking hilarious. So we leave work. We go to the liquor store. And mind you, I'm the only one that's 21 at the time. So we go to the liquor store. I buy a bunch of 40s of Mickey's. So we go back over to
Mickey's.
Yeah, Mickey's is fucking so good. So we go back to fucking Louie's apartment and we start drinking. Next thing you know, we're out in the parking lot of this apartment complex and we're on Michael's car, like on the roof, on the hood, just like body slamming each other on top of the motherfucking car, dude. Just like picking each other up and slamming each other on the car. Like, Jesus. I don't give a shit, dude. It was fucking ridiculous.
Oh my God.
It was so fun though. Like, it didn't matter. The car was already fucking beat the fuck up because it already got hit by a deer. Yeah. I mean, but
yeah, it was fucked up from a deer.
Yeah, but the deer fucking killed it. So like, we're hanging out doing that and Meister just happened to work across the street.
Nice.
Meister just happened to work.
Meister of puppets.
Yeah, Meister of puppets. Yes.
Dude, we went on a tear with the Meister.
Meister! Meister!
Yeah, if you're listening, Meister, you better get your fucking ass up here.
Yeah, boy. Come on. Come in for a podcast, bro.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But, so Meister just happened to be working across the street driving a forklift, which is ironic because Craig just left fucking, dropped his forklift, said fuck off.
Right.
That shit was funny. So he comes out on lunch and we, after we're slamming each other on top of the car and everything, fucking, he comes out on lunch and we walk over there and we're talking, mind you, like I said, I'm the only one that's 21. Me and Craig are both sitting there drinking 40s of fucking Mickey's. this fucking cops come rolling up.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, my God, for real? So Craig's like, shit. He fucking hides. He hides his beer behind the tree that we're standing next to. And these fucking cops come rolling up like fucking, what are you guys doing?
Pontiac cops?
Yeah, 100% Pontiac cops. Yeah. Oh, these cops come rolling up, what are you guys doing? Like, we're just hanging here talking to our buddy who's on lunch. And he's like, why are you guys beating that car up over there? It's like, dude, you got to understand. It's okay. You see this? This is my. He's like, is that your car? I'm like, no. He's like, why are you beating up somebody else's car? I was like, it's my fucking brother's car, dude. He doesn't give a shit. You see this fucking car? The fucking deer hit it. We didn't hit the deer. We hit the deer. But anyway.
Right. We get the point.
But yeah. Fucking, he's like, all right, so who's got the beer? I was like, I do. Because like I said, I was the only one that was 21. Right. And fucking, he like looks around. Because this tree's like the size of, it's like 8 inches in diameter. So this 40 is not hiding at all. It's like right fucking there. He's like, I'm drinking. He's like, so what's this 40 right here? I'm like, oh, shit. I said, I don't know. It got warm and it got flat. So now I'm drinking this one. So he's like, he reaches over and he picks up the beer and he grabs it. He's like, this is cold. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. And he just like looked at all of us, dude. This is after we're smashing each other on cars in a fucking public place and everything. He just looks at us. And he's like, dump these beers out and get the fuck out of here, dude. I'm like, wow. I'm like, holy shit, dude, you just letting us go? Like, because like I said, it was pretty fucked up, dude. Like, they let us go.
Wow.
It was like, we left. I was like, I'm not coming back.
What did Michael think of the car?
Dude. Oh, dude, it was already beat the fuck up anyway. I know, dude. But he was pretty more pissed off that he wasn't there than he was that anything happened to the car. He's like, God damn it. Obviously, I had to be at fucking work. I wish I was there for all that shit. But yeah, Michael was mad that he wasn't there.
Nice.
It was fucking hilarious and shit, dude.
Classic Shawback reaction to something like
that. Yeah, it's like, wait, hold on. You got the cops called. You got drunk. You beat up a car. And I wasn't there? Fuck you guys.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, that was a good story.
Shawback Nation.
Hell yeah, Shawback Nation.
Speaking of Shawback, what about Pawback on the website?
Oh, dude, that meme you made, dude. Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome, dude. You're a
big
pussy.
Hell yeah. I was going to put big stinky pussy, but then I thought, you know, let me just dial it slightly back. So I was going to put
Dad is a truck driver.
Pussy.
Who knows how stinky he is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, no, I wanted to mention, I've been talking about my book, my novel, The Dreadful Lives of Enoch Strange. It's actually out. On the website, you can order it now, and I ship them out right away, so you don't even have to wait if you advance order it. I'm just sending them out before the October 5th release on Amazon, and then the October 12th release on Amazon for the Kindle version of that. So if you go to my website, which is petealtieri.com, you can look at the episode description. I'll put a link to it there. But you can buy it right from the website. It comes with a poster, a full color 11x17 poster, and a bookmark, and the artwork from Brian Usual is fucking amazing. Chew Dog Design. We're gonna have Brian in here coming up pretty quick. I wanted to tie it in with the release, so probably one of those early October, probably the first one. Yeah, I need to add him to the list. So anyway, that's about that. If you want to check out some Enoch Strange, also, I got a Facebook page for it, so you can go on there and get all the updates, and you can order it from that link. So really, however you want to do it, it's out there, and check that shit out. Now, Joey,
I'm going to switch it up a little bit.
Okay.
I had said I was going to tell a little more of a cautionary tale, you know, but I think I'm going to save that one because it's been a good night. We've had some good laughs.
Hell yeah,
dude. It's been a good podcast.
Yeah.
So I got something that, you know, a little bit more funny, but still with the mayhem.
Okay.
Fucking A, dude.
Sweet. Not to mention, I had just gone up to Chicago. I just wanted to mention, too, this last weekend, and my buddy put on a basement show. and Asphyxiator played, and
Contour. Oh, yeah, I saw some pictures.
Yeah. A bunch of bands came from out of state, and it was really, really cool, and it's been a long time since I've been to a good basement show.
Trash shit, right?
Yeah, so tell people to do that again. Anyhow, I was hanging out with Texas Dave there, who's my buddy. Texas Dave, if you don't know, he's a extremely talented musician.
Dude, this dude has riffs for days, bro.
I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, he's probably one Sinworm. Of my... The most talented that I've ever worked with. I've been in a few bands with him, but he does Sinworm, which is his one man project.
And Oil Anal Discharge with Sean. Oil Anal
Discharge is the guitarist and programmer for that. And dude, he also does some black metal.
His
stuff.
Riffs are just ridiculous,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he started playing fiddle when he was 2 down in Texas.
Oh, nice.
I had actually met him at college. He went to DePaul. But anyway, so I was with him. So this story ties in because this is about Texas Dave. And surely with a name like that, you know the guy's a little bit... He's pretty crazy. Right. I mean, he ain't Texas Dave for no fucking reason.
No, he ain't Texas Dave. I've hung out with Texas Dave a few times. So, he ain't Texas Dave for no reason.
So back in the day, whenever I first started Goremonger, the very first Goremonger was actually Texas Dave on drums and me doing the guitars and vocals. This was before I got the drum machine, and we had first started going to more of the underground shows up in that area, which involved bands like Putrid Pile and Mutilated, Decrypt, and Plaguebringer from Chicago, a lot of those type bands. So we start hanging around with these bands, we get known by them a little more. We're very new in the scene, we're very local. We go and we hang out at this one show, and Decrypt's there, and to me, I will always tell anybody... The most energetic band I've ever seen live was Decrypt, grindcore band from Hobart, Indiana. Unfortunately, RIP.
Oh, well, yeah, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, but very amazing band. So we're hanging out with them. We're going to all their shows because they're so fucking badass. We're getting ourselves seen. So one day, the guitarist Chris Montez, who is now a very good friend of mine, all of those dudes are, but at that time we were just meeting them, but he was like, hey, this is Chicago. He's like, why don't you guys come back to After Hours at my place in Indiana? We're like, oh, shit. We're fucking stoked. It's like this band that's on this signed label. Right. We're getting to go hang out with them. You know, we're fucking just mind boggled.
Now, you didn't have to do any skiing, did you?
No skiing.
Okay, no, just making that sure. Here,
so, Texas.
Going there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right, Chris? I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
You never know. You never know. But not at this time. So Texas Dave, of course, is drunk at all times back then.
Well, I have never been around Texas Dave.
Drunk.
Dude, drunker than me.
I used to have 3 drunkest friends, Texas Dave, Shawback, and my buddy Joe Crabb. Joe Crabb passed away from drinking himself to death last year.
Oh, shit.
So now I've got 2 left. So they're but anyway, so back then, so Texas Dave, by the time we leave to go to Indiana, he's already, I'm pretty sure, blacked out because this is after the show. He's already, you know, been drinking tons of beers. We drive back to Indiana. He's swerving. And I remember Montez texting me like,
shit.
Hey, is he okay? And I'm like, he's fine. We're going to be okay. It's just how he was. He was erratic. He was drunk. Like, this is terrible, terrible stuff, believe me. Like, nobody should be on the road like this.
Yeah,
but back then, we're just like, who gives a fuck? And it was terrible, but we were young.
Young, dumb.
We've learned.
Some dumb shit.
Yeah. Man. So we get to Indiana. We get to Montez's house. We're soaked. I'm fucking sitting here, like, mind-boggled that this band that I love listening to their shit, their CDs, all of a sudden I'm hanging out with them. And so we're at Montez's. Dave is drunk, and every time there's 4 members of Decrypt, and all 3 of the other ones came in at different times as they got into town, you know.
Right,
every time one of the members come in, text Dave, dude, fucking Crypt, and there's people sleeping upstairs. And Montez's like, yo, man, you gotta be quiet. But every single time somebody would come down, he would fucking yell this. So we're fucking partying, and all of a sudden they're like,
D fucking
Crypt. And fucking, so Montez is like, alright, so we're partying. He pulls out a handle of Jim Beam, and I'm just sitting here to myself thinking, oh my god, that's the last thing the Texas State needs right now is this handle of Jim Beam,
right?
so we get to drinking this, and everybody's trashed. Before you know it, we're sitting there partying, and we just hear this fucking gurgle from over in the corner. Look over, and sure enough, Texas Dave thrown up. He tried to catch it in his shirt, but most of it went all over Montez's couch, right?
Oh, damn.
He's fucking trash. Montez is like, oh my fucking god. So he's got to clean this up. We finally get Texas Dave calmed down, stopping saying de-fucking Crypt at the top of his lungs. He finally fucking passes out, and he goes to sleep.
Oh my God.
We're in the basement. He goes to sleep. He passes out in the bathroom, right? Because he's in the bathroom. We set him in there by the toilet. He falls asleep in there. So it's fucking dark. There's no windows in the bathroom, right, of this basement room. So Texas Dave, I just remember, I guess he fucking woke up. And he's freezing because he has no shirt because it was full of vomit, right? So he had taken it off. So he's sitting in there. He was like, dude, I reached over. I fucking felt for a shirt and just fucking put it on, fucking, you know, get a little warm. When he came walking out that next morning, he was wearing Montez's boxers, his dirty boxers, as a shirt. Fucking, he had pulled over.
Oh my god.
So that was pretty much the first time we ever hung out with some signed bands.
That's fucking badass shit right there, dude.
That's great.
And now we're all really good friends ever since.
So. Hell yeah. That's the way it should be.
That's a good one.
Fucking hey, man. Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. You got to love some good mayhem. You know, I didn't mention earlier, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll only be a couple of days away, but Sunday, the September 23rd, September 23rd is this Sunday.
2018.
I will be appearing from 1 to 5. They're doing a thing in the metropolis of Hayworth.
The metropolis of
2,900 people. They're doing Market on Main, and it's going to be just a vendor. They're going to have music. Unfortunately, no music that we would be playing. But they're going to have me there with a booth, and I'll be selling some books and signing shit. So if anybody wants to come out,
bring it
Sunday,
on.
September 23rd from 1 to 5, and I'll have the new book, Enoch Strange, there, so you can buy that.
Won't you be in Rantoul also? Is that where you're going? No. The one down in Savoy or...
Savoy got moved to
November 16th, 17th, 18th. Urbana. Yeah, it's moved to Urbana. We're going to have Brian in here. I'm actually going to do it Skype.
Yeah.
Because his work schedule is really fucked up. And so we talked here just recently. Brian, the guy that's putting together that dark history and horror convention.
Nice.
Yeah, it's in November. That's going to be badass.
Yes. And it got moved to Urbana, Illinois.
Yep. It did.
So it's going
to
be
badass. From Savoy to Urbana. So that should be better.
The big city.
Big, better hotel, better amenities.
No, bigger, better amenities for real.
Without a doubt. All right, now we've got some business to attend to.
Who's going to die tonight?
Right. And now we've got two listeners, and of course, I did not write the fucking names down. Now, I know one was Chris Ferguson, and I think the other one was Tina Powell.
Yeah.
Heck, who has been like fucking on it with the with that?
I got numbers.
Yeah, so she got some numbers. He got some numbers. So we had picked two numbers from 1 to 30. We've been through this before, but if you're a new listener, we made a list of 30 killers and 30 objects, and they picked two numbers. So one number's a killer, one number's an object. The other listener picks another killer, another object, randomly because they don't know who the numbers go to. And then I've got the list. And so this week, we've got Edmund Kemper.
And Richard fucking Ramirez.
Yeah, fucking Night Stalker.
I ain't going to lie. That's a one-sided battle no matter what the weapon is.
I mean, without the weapons, that's pretty lopsided. Because Ed Kemper was like 7 foot fucking something.
Dude, Sasquatch.
And he's gigantic. And again, these battles would be when they were in their prime. So when he was the co-ed killer and fucking doing his thing... Before he went off the rails even more and killed his mom and all that good shit.
But Edmund Kemper fucking cut his mom's head off and fucked it, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking brutal.
Right. My favorite part of the Ed Kemper story is when the cops showed up and he was putting the vocal cords down the garbage disposal and kept popping out. And he said even in death, she wouldn't shut the fuck up.
That oh, my God, dude.
It's fucking brutal. So, yeah, Ed Kemper, gigantic. Rich Ramirez, like 80 pounds, soaking wet.
Yeah.
Skanky, nasty, rotten teeth, motherfucker.
Yeah, fucking.
But he was raping and killing and doing some sick shit. So, anyway, those two. And the two items cracked me up.
The one item's brutal. The other one's like, wait, what do I got?
Yeah. Toenail clippers. And we're going to say these are like pretty raunchy.
Yeah, they're
like
rotted.
Grandpa's been using them.
There's
they're
probably hepatitis on them
they're
or something.
They're pretty funky and nasty. So we got a pair of toenail clippers. And then the other one, the fence post wrapped in barbed wire. So I'm thinking, I mean,
dude, I'm going to go with Ed Kemper all day. I don't care if Ramirez has a barbed wire fucking wrap post.
Because I'm thinking Kemper will get
Kemper's just going to bum rush him and fucking fuck you, dude.
Right. He might fuck him up, but Kemper's going to get the upper hand.
Yeah, Kemper's going to get it. He's going to demolish him. What's your thoughts, Cashman?
That's pretty much it. I mean, that's with those kind of weapons, it's going to be pretty close quarters. And
it's got to be close
obviously
quarters.
Has the stats. Now, I will say that if Richard Ramirez had his best options, it would be to sneak up on them while they were sleeping, because that's what he did. But he would probably get there, and Edmund Kemper would be out killing someone else, so he'd just fuck.
Yeah, and they're in a cage, so, I mean,
they're fighting
quarters.
Each other. Like, I feel like Ramirez would be like, oh... Right. Satan, help me. Right. Satan, help me.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, Kemper is just so much more physically imposing.
100%.
That even if Ramirez had the fucking fence post wrapped in barbed wire, I think
Kemper's
going to
just bum rush him.
And going to fuck his shit up.
Beat his ass. They're going to be looking at the toenail clippers like, I don't even know what those are.
Now, what would be the most badass thing is if Kemper and Ramirez joined together to be like a Master Blaster Thunderdome.
God, dude.
Oh, damn. We could do like
oh, my
tag
God,
team.
Bro.
That's ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah, see, holy I don't shit. Follow wrestling, but I'm seeing a real tie to, there you know, go. Like the Hell in the Cell and all this shit. So, yeah, we might have to really take this thing further. But
I mean, you think in 10 years there's not going to be a Murder Metal Mayhem video game.
There should be.
That'd be,
be
fucking badass.
Yeah. How many beers can Shawback drink?
Oh, get the fuck. How much whiskey should he not drink?
Hey, I'll tell you what, for Mayhem one day, we're going to tell that story about when Shawback lost his teeth at Full Tear. I'm just going to. Oh, did you?
You missed
it. I haven't listened to last week.
I did.
That's awesome. Yeah, did. You did that.
It's a good one, too,
awesome.
Joe. Yeah,
I'm so glad
lie.
You did that.
You're going to have to hear
we
it.
Can realign it, though, because you know more than I know. I just like, yo.
Well, that in the happened. Morning, I will visit that episode, so I will hear it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, fucking, I think hell it's pretty
dude.
Obvious. It's Ed Kemper.
Ed
There's
Kemper.
No way.
No, it's Ed Kemper. Ed Kemper's beating Ramirez's ass all
you
day.
You know what he
long.
Said when he was thinking about Richard Ramirez? What his head would look like on a stick.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
And skull-fucking him for a while.
So. Yeah.
So we'll see Jesus you guys in the next Mayhem segment. We'll do another Killer Cage match.
I want you guys' reactions on what's going on with these.
Yeah, let us know. Cause
let
a lot
us know
of
what
really
you think.
It. Yeah. Do you think Ramirez would have taken him? So, anyway, thanks for the two that submitted the numbers. We really do appreciate that. So, we'll do some killer cage match.
Get ready for some
Actually, we're going to miss it next week because of the Bloodshed episode.
Yeah, the Bloodshed episode.
So, the one after that will resume. So.
Yep.
Some new Deicide there for you as
Deicide.
We go into the outro as we close out this episode, man. Episode 23. Had
Jordan.
A good fucking time.
Jordan.
We had Cashman outside. Joe Cashman from Goremonger here with us.
Hello.
Thanks, Joey, for being here. It was always fun. The bumper music this time, Anthrax, Deicide, Slayer, and Disgorge. So,
yes, sir.
Fuck yeah. Huge thanks again, everybody listening, man. We just keep saying it over and over, but we mean it. Man, Chicago has been number one city for like a few weeks now. So.
That's because Chicago likes murder.
They do. And probably some metal and mayhem thrown in.
Right.
So, yeah, we've been getting a lot of Chicago hits. New York kind of dropped down a little bit. Bloomington, number two.
Yeah.
I can't think of who's number three offhand, but... countries, we're still seeing it in South America. Denmark's been on there. Australia, big time. New Zealand.
It's been fucking pretty going all
UK.
Right. We really appreciate you guys listening. For real.
Yeah, please keep listening, commenting, liking, rating, whatever you can do and whatever you're listening to it
on. We're not the smartest people on podcasts. But
no, look. I mean, we've been called Beavis and Butthead. So, I mean, we just kind of, whatever.
But it's fun.
We have a good time doing it.
I feel I like constantly have new people always talking about your guys' show, though, that I didn't know were listening to it yet.
Oh, sweet.
So it's awesome.
Oh, no shit? Yeah, hell yeah, cool. That's badass.
That dude. Is cool. Now we got some comments here. Chris, you want to read that first one?
Aaron McIntosh,
he said, he just won a contest, by the way, Eric did. So.
Oh, what'd he win?
He won a koozie.
Oh, good for you, Eric.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. So Eric McIntosh, he says, keep up the great work, man. I love the show. You have a way of keeping people entertained. And that's pretty badass that you like the podcast enough to where you enjoy it and you want to spread it. So,
yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Tanya, a college professor in Pennsylvania, also messaged, which was kind of funny because she said, I listen to the show as often as I can. Love it. Kind of makes me think of back in the Brutality Report days when a reporter, a famous reporter, still at the Pantograph, sent me a message and said, I love the Brutality Report, but because of my job, you can't mention it.
Right, I'll lose my job. Yeah, you can't say
that. So it was pretty funny. So I'll tell you off recording, but I always thought it was funny, like a closet Brutality Report reader and almost envisioning Tanya the same way. Like, she's in her car.
Like, shit.
She knows, like, in the school, yeah, there ain't no way you're doing Murder Metal Mayhem out loud. So
no, not at all.
Not if you want to keep your job.
Not if you, yeah, exactly that. That's fucking hilarious.
So what's the next one here, dude?
Patricia Folger. I'm going to say Folger. I'm sorry if I fucked it up. She says, I love the episode on Zodiac the best. I learned so much about him that I didn't realize before. And the Zodiac episode is really good. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Because me and Pete actually, like, was like, no, there's some real shit coming out now that nobody knew before. So, like, it was pretty badass. I'm glad you liked that episode. Yeah. Keep listening, and we'll hope to teach you some more shit.
Yeah.
Not teach, but now help you learn.
I was going to see if either of you recognize the significance of her last name. In a podcast like ours, not the coffee,
but the Folgers heir with the Charles Manson murders.
Yes, first murder scene. Yeah. Nice, Joey.
Joey got it.
Yeah, Abigail Folger. Yeah. She was an heiress to Folger Coffee.
See, I didn't put that together.
She
nice
was in
job,
the first
Gavin.
Sharon Tate murder. She got murdered outside. Got stabbed like 50 fucking times.
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah. And apparently, Donnie Featherly commented, said, I tell everyone I can listen to about you guys. This is the best podcast I've ever heard, which is cool.
That's fucking weird, dude.
I mean, it's all good. Thank you, Donnie.
No, but thank you.
It's funny because we think of like other ones we listen to as being better, you know.
Yeah.
But we try to be as good as we can with a pretty limited budget, that's for sure. I love Murder Metal Mayhem, all rolled into one. Thank you. So thank you, Donnie.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. And thanks again, everyone. Keep on listening, commenting, spreading the word like a cold sore at a swingers convention. But before we let you motherfuckers go,
there's no karaoke.
Yeah, I mean, since there's not going to be any karaoke next week with the Bloodshed episode, I thought I really had to go off.
Y'all motherfuckers and no one enjoy is this one.
And I went the fuck
you're gonna
off.
You're going to be bumping this in your car tomorrow.
The funk. Level is at fucking 666 fucking percent.
Yeah, y'all be bumping in, like, wait, what did I just hear?
Right. So we'll leave you with that. We'll see you motherfuckers next time.
Have a good night.
Yo! See it now. I'm back. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to release that pressure. Get up off of that thing and shake till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake it. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing. Shake you, feel better. Get up off of that thing. And try to release that pressure. Get up off. Ah. Good God.
off of that thing and try to reach the pressure. Get up off of that thing and twist till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and shake it. Shake it now. Get up off of that thing and shake till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and try to reach the pressure.
Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off of that thing and dance till you feel better. Get up off